Cyberspin, topics you care about by people you trust. This is Cyberspin, the podcast that helps you navigate CMMC. And now for the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Cyberspin. I'm Rob Teague, Director of CMMC Services at Redspin. And with me is my cohort in crime, Dr. Thomas Graham. We have a couple special guests today, and I want to introduce them. We're very excited to have you guys on our podcast. So thank you for joining. With us today is Jennifer Simpson. Jennifer Simpson is the Senior Director of Corporate Cyber Assurance for BAE Systems, Inc. and leads the CMMC project for the organization. Also with us is her partner in crime, Sherry Peterson, is the Director of Information Security Authorizations and Decisions, ISAD. Yes, and we'll get into that a little bit later. She is also from BAE Systems, Inc. and plays a vital role in the CMMC project for the entire organization. Quick intro about BAE Systems, Inc. They are a large prime contractor that provides advanced technology-led defense, aerospace, and security solutions. BAE Systems, Inc. employs more than 41,000 personnel across the United States, United Kingdom, and Sweden. They assist partners with developing engineer, manufacturing, and support products and systems to deliver military capability, protect the national security, and keep critical information and infrastructure secure. So we're very excited to have you both with us today. So thanks for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so we're going to dive right into some questions. Very excited to hear from you guys and really how you prepared for CMMC. We get a lot of questions about the primes. What are the primes doing? How are the primes flowing this to their subs? So we're just going to ask some questions like that. Maybe that will be some information folks can use out there. So I guess the first question for you is, as a large prime contractor, how long has BAE Systems Inc. known about the CMMC program?
So we really learned about CMMC when the program was first announced by Department of Defense in 2019. So not really any earlier than anyone else, but that's when, you know, we heard about it and really started to keep our ear to the ground to find out more information about what was going to be expected of us.
Awesome. Actually, that's when we got into it as well, was 2019. I sat in a lot of the meetings with Katie Arrington. And so I imagine you guys were probably in the same sessions. Okay, so approximately, when did you guys start preparing for your CMMC certification? So you knew in 2019 it was coming. We knew there was kind of a lag in before it started. So when did you guys really start prepping?
Yeah, so after their announcement, there were some draft documents that got released. And so we started to follow those. And then I think it was early in 2020 when they published the version one of the CMMC model. And we started to dig in at that point. Of course, we were already familiar and had implemented the NIST 800-171 requirements. So our main objective at that point was to perform a gap analysis. What is in levels 4 and 5 that we might need to implement? Is there anything in levels 1 through 3 that we might need to adjust? And so we were performing a gap analysis. We were looking at what are the controls we'll need to implement? What will the cost of those be, both from a labor and finance perspective? And so that's really at that point, early 2020, is when we started to do that analysis and started our journey.
So I know, Sherry, from going through our own assessment, because we went through V1 ourselves, there were a lot of things that were in there that, while looking back at, you know, the whole DFAR 7012 things, there's items that folks have been paying attention to, but there was a lot of nuances. So from V1 to V2, as you continued on this journey, if you don't mind me asking, what was kind of the hardest lift for you guys? What was, you know, that one thing that you saw in there and said, okay, this is going to take us a little bit longer than other items are?
From a V1 level 3 perspective to V2 level 2, I think the biggest lift for us really actually was categorizing our assets. So looking at the scoping guidance and figuring out where we apply the controls to everything, right? I mean, and that generally is what we do, but we wanted to go forward with the effort of making sure that we categorized our assets according to the scoping guidance and clearly understood what the expectations were from an SSP perspective and from a control implementation perspective for each of those different asset categories.
Well, I will tell you guys, first of all, when we came up and we first met you guys at your headquarters, the first thing that really just impressed me right out the gate was the knowledge, Jennifer, that you had on CMMC, and you as well, Sherry. But Jennifer was doing most of the talking that day. So my question is, how much research, what did you guys do to get so, I mean, you had the, you knew all the acronyms, you knew who all was involved in the program, you knew everything about CMMC. How did you learn all of that? What did you do to prep to get that knowledge?
Well, thank you for that. You know, as Sherry mentioned, and we just discussed, we began a long time ago, right? At this point, this feels like a long marathon and not a sprint. You know, what did I do? I started reading the requirements. I moved on to becoming a CMMC registered practitioner. As soon as that was available, I took the CCP course, like I'm sure you both do. I have a longstanding habit, I know Sherry does as well, of attending the monthly CMMC AB meetings. And I consume a lot of content around it. And I meet regularly with my industry peers and partners. And NIST 800-171 isn't new. So once they moved over to that, it was a pretty understood thing. Do I think it's important that I have that knowledge specifically? I do. In this role, I've had the privilege of advising a very large organization. We have a complex environment, as you now are well aware of. Mm-hmm. We focus heavily on cybersecurity compliance. So doing the homework has really just allowed me to do that advice with credibility.
So I'm going to say, Jennifer, I'm a little dismayed by what you just said, because I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to say the biggest benefit and help to your own knowledge was listening to the CyberSpin podcast. You know, so I'm
a little worried about that. I did say that I consumed a lot of content.
but no, one of the things, you know, when I first started talking with you, that this is full honesty here. When we first started having conversations, you weren't asking just the generic questions. You actually went down and asked specific questions on specific practices, specific objectives. And that was something that, you know, when we had that initial conversation, I honestly was impressed, because to that point, folks haven't been looking at that level of granular knowledge with what they have to do. So whether you want to call it kudos, that was just something that kind of let me know that BAE Systems is a little different than some of the other folks that we've been talking to.
Thank you.
Yeah. I do want to let everybody know that BAE Systems did complete their headquarters level of assessment. So I think that is attributed to the knowledge these two ladies have and brought to that program. So speaking of that, you guys entered into the Joint Surveillance Assessment Program. Now, that's the early adopter program. For those that don't know, the DoD wanted certifications to continue so organizations such as BAE Systems could get in and get done early. So we've had quite a few. I think we're up to around 50 or 55 joint assessments that were completed so far. What made you guys decide to go that route versus waiting for CMMC?
Sure. So, I mean, really, the cybersecurity is really important to BAE Systems and to our customers, and we understand that. We felt like CMMC and the Joint Surveillance Program, it's a key part of meeting the expectation that our customer has, and early demonstration of our ability to meet those requirements, it is aligned fully with our company mission, which is to protect those who protect us. And we felt like being an early adopter, leaning into it, set the tone and allowed for us to understand where we are as a prime. We are anticipating that we will likely receive the requirement very early.
I like what you said, protecting those that protect us. Oh, that was pretty cool. Actually, Thomas and I were the ones that did the assessment, very impressed the whole way through. In kind of relation to that now, we did have a conversation with you about your subs. So this next question, and I want to preface this for our listeners, that this is BAE Systems Inc. So this is not applied to all the primes. Each prime is going to conduct the next phase here in different fashions. But this should give us a glimpse inside of what the primes are doing by seeing what BAE Systems Inc. is doing for their subs. So How are you going to bring your subs into this? What are you telling your subs about prepping for this program and being ready to be certified?
So really, it's important to highlight that the certification requirement rests with our customer, not with BAE. The government will tell people when they need to become certified. BAE Systems, however, is clearly committed to demonstrating our engagement with this by participating in joint surveillance. We have not required our suppliers to go through joint surveillance, but we do continue to encourage engaging in the cybersecurity requirements early. And then the other action that we took was we established a master services agreement with Redspin so that any member of our supply chain can ramp faster to the services that you offer. We felt like that was a good way that we could bridge the gap. When we hear the CMMC AB, we look around at what's available to people in the ecosystem, and we look at the shortage of, the pipeline is small. And so we tried to make it possible for any member of our supply chain to engage as early as possible with already agreed upon terms.
So Jennifer, if I can, I want to point out something, but also I want to ask you a question. As you and Sherry know, I've been around the DoD for quite a while. I've actually been on your side of the equation as a contractor before, doing what I'm doing now. But one of the things since I actually started a career in cybersecurity, one of the things that's always talked about is doing what you say you need to do. So the reason why I say that is, to Rob's question, you guys are the prime. Once this thing goes final, everybody is under the presumption that any members that are part of your team on a contract will also have to have the requisite CMMC certification at the appropriate level for the information they store, process, or transmit. So to me, with everything I know about cybersecurity, that speaks to governance, and that speaks from leading to the top and then flowing down. So is that kind of the perspective that you saw, that if you guys were going to have to require this of your subcontractors, your teaming partners and stuff, you had to drink your own Kool-Aid?
Yes, we do believe in leaning in, demonstrating by example. We also wanted to make sure that we understood what we would be blowing down and being able to be a resource and a partner to those key suppliers.
Yeah, I think it's important for those that are going to be listening. Your approach was very similar to what we did in the military. A leader can't expect subordinates to do something if the leader themselves won't do it. I think BAE Systems Inc. has made that statement by getting the headquarters done first before the subs. And now you're encouraging the subs to continue preparing, but you're not mandating anything yet, which is really very interesting, when you think about it, because we're hearing a lot about some of the contracts are coming with CMMC language inside of them. How is your subs and how are you guys dealing with that?
CMMC is not yet a requirement.
Exactly. Right.
But
Jerry was like, come on, Jen, you've got to answer this. Come on, Jen.
Sherry was like, I ain't
if I was going to answer that, that's exactly what I would have said. Yeah. So.
And that is right. It's not official yet. So that's why the joint surveillance is there. We've been telling folks as if you see that kind of information, the rule is not complete yet. It's got to be complete before you can be held accountable to that kind of information. So don't get me wrong. GFAR 7012 already has the requirements here. We all know that. We've had that conversation. And CMMC is nothing more than just the validation piece of it. So, Jen, I know that you meet with a lot of the CISOs from the other primes. Are you guys having conversations about this when you meet? I really want to know if really you're just kind of walking in going, that's right, we're already certified.
I mean, yes, joint surveillance has been on the radar of conversation as soon as it was an encouraged activity. CMMC has been a conversation amongst us in the DIB for years, as we mentioned. I know, Sherry, you participate in a few working groups with some of the other prime CISOs. This is something that you guys spend time on?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think one of the groups that I'm in, we meet a couple of times a week, and it certainly is a topic. We share information about, the assessment that we just went through, or another company, the assessment that they're getting ready to go through, and sharing in what challenges we had. And so we certainly do that. And I think, you know, we all have different IT environments that we're having assessed. Even our enterprise networks all look a little different. We also have different approaches in some cases to control interpretation or implementation, different approaches to how we prepare for the assessment. But I do know in all of the conversations that I get to be a part of, there's a common thread, and we're all just interested in doing the right thing by our customers, no matter how that happens within each of our environments. And so we're all, everyone in the group, over time, you can tell, super excited and anxious to get through the assessment and make sure that we can show that we're all doing what is expected of us.
So Sherry, with those conversations and now looking back and reflecting on, you know, where you guys started from to where you are now, if you could change something with your preparation, with kind of the process that you went through, what would it be and why would it be, barring Rob from coming into your headquarters?
That's a really great question. I honestly don't know that there's anything I would change about how we prepared or what we presented as part of our assessment. I personally was really proud of all of the documentation that we presented and all of the folks that we pulled in, how we prepared them for participating in an assessment like this. So hate that I don't have a good answer for that, but I truly don't think that I would have changed anything.
The one thing you did say, Sherry, and I do jest a little bit, but one of the key points I want folks to take away from this that you just said is you prepared the folks that were going to be in the assessment. That speaks to, you know, you planned ahead. I'm going to use the term rehearsed, but it's more of you ensured that they understood what was going to be asked about them. And I mean, I've said several times in the past in various forums, when we went through our original assessment, Monday morning, very first question wasn't asked to me as CISO. It wasn't asked to our director of IT. It was asked to the head of our marketing, talking about publicly accessible information. And she nailed it. Because much like you guys, that's what we did, is we went through and we practiced those questions and the responses that we're going to give. So for anybody that's sitting out there, you know, waiting for your joint assessment, getting prepared for the formal program, please don't discount that. Because you just heard from Sherry. I mean, I know you've heard from me probably more than you probably want to over the last couple of years. But this is another example of, you want to try and get through this successfully, crack, because when we walked in, and I'm going to flat out say this, when we walked in, we asked the questions, there was no ambiguity about the answers. Everybody that we asked a question to knew what it was, knew where the information was at, and presented it to us, honestly, with very little delay in the response. So kudos to you guys on what you did to get ready.
Yeah. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of this, and I'm going to pass it back around for final thoughts. But before we jump into that, Sherry, I need you to tell us what ISAD, the department ISAD, is.
It's our Information Security Authorizations and Decisions team. And the short of it, we do policy and risk assessment. And our tagline is, because ISAD so. And so... Yes. It's yes. Fantastic. It goes over. I wish I had it. We actually had mugs made recently too. So
when we came on site, we just thought that was awesome. I mean, I still got the sticker. So that's great. Okay. So now that everybody knows what ISAD is and ISAD so, we'll pass it over to you and we'll start with Jen. Just some final thoughts. Anything you can pass off as something for folks to think about as they're preparing and getting ready for all of this, or just a nugget of knowledge that you've gained from this whole process?
Sure. So I think after the joint surveillance assessment, you have a moment to breathe and you kind of reflect a little bit. And I can honestly say it has truly been one of the highlights of my career to progress the CMMC journey here at BAE Systems. And I'm excited to see it continue. I think partnership is an important thing, both in who you engage with to conduct your assessments, but internally as well. It's impossible to understate how important partnership is. And I think to the point you were just making, practice, 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 and begin as early as you possibly can, because there is never as much time as you think you need. And I think that would be the advice I would offer anybody.
Awesome. Sherry?
We could probably end with that, but I know I just mentioned how proud I am of how we conducted, prepared for, and successfully completed the assessment. Like Jen said, practice, practice, practice. And I think that as we now move forward and work on sustaining what we've already done, I'm really optimistic about that, and also about how we'll sustain compliance through our evolving environment and evolving regulations. We'll see what happens there, but optimistic that we've positioned ourselves through our assessment for success in the future.
So you're saying it's because I said so, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. Well, listen, guys, it's been great having you on here. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. For our listeners, this was a great opportunity to hear from one of the primes that plays a vital role in really outfitting our warfighters so they can do what they need to protect everything that we enjoy within this country. So thank you, Jennifer and Sherry, for joining us on this episode of Cyberspin. It's always a pleasure having you guys and definitely talking with you and seeing you. So we appreciate you sharing your perspectives and the BAE Systems journey. So good luck to you guys as you move through the next 3 years. And Dr. Graham, thank you for your time, sir. This by far is not the last time we'll talk as we move down this entire roller coaster of fun called CMMC. So to our listeners, thank you for tuning in again. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Cyberspin podcast. Always stay up to date with the new episodes. We're doing quite a few of these, and we're trying to leverage to bring as much information as we can. With that, we are spinning out of here.